Hanukkah, everybody.
Yes, happy Hanukkah.
Welcome to the Savvy Girls podcast, episode number 37.
Hanukkah. It's episode number 30 Hanukkah.
It is episode number 30 Hanukkah. And it's, guess what holiday it is? It's Hanukkah! And I don't know if you can tell, but Melanie and I are podcasting from the same location. It is
Bogota, Colombia.
Exactly. So we have a Hanukkah special podcast for you today. And we have some of the regular knitting talk, and we have some more Savvy Girl silliness, and maybe they should pick up their knitting sticks?
Maybe. I mean, you really don't have to.
I really think you should. And light your candles and enjoy the show.
Exactly. Enjoy the show.
And I say, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right.
Well, Deborah, where are we?
Well, I'm in Colombia.
I think I'm in Colombia.
A couple days ago. Do you want to tell the story?
No, I think you should tell it. I'm tired.
Okay.
I'm tired.
So a couple days ago, I was on the phone with Melanie and I was saying how much work I had to do and how much just general work there was at the office. And Melanie jokingly said, well, you know, geez, if they pay me, I'd come and help out. And so I said, well, actually, my boss is looking for someone who would be willing to come and help for a little while. And so within an hour and a half, we had it all settled and Melanie bought a ticket and Melanie's come for a week and a half to sort of pitch in with all of the work there is to do at the office. And it's very conveniently timed because it is also a special holiday.
And that holiday is
Hanukkah! That's right. And coming up later in today's show, I'm going to be telling you a little bit about what is Hanukkah.
Because if you grew up where we grew up, you probably don't know.
I imagine not everybody knows. People sometimes know about Hanukkah, but I think sort of your average
person. It depends where you live.
Yeah, it's true. So anyways, I'll tell you a little bit about that. We have what else do we have for this show?
Oh, there's so much.
I'm talking about knitting.
You're talking about knitting. We are talking a little bit about how the holidays are celebrated here from what we've seen so far.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And there's just stuff to do. And
we just can't think of it right now.
No, just there's all sorts of things. But first I thought we'd just take a few minutes and catch up with what we've been doing since the last podcast, which wasn't that long ago, but we did want to have a Hanukkah podcast, and so
yeah.
Here we are.
Sorry, the music lesson is going on.
Yeah, there's a music lesson below us, and after we finish this, I think we're going to go, well, you'll see.
We're going to go interrupt
their music lesson with prankness.
Yeah, we're going to misbehave a little bit.
But first, we thought we'd do this.
Why don't you go ahead, Mel, because I always have trouble thinking of things to say for the what are you doing
Okay, let's portion. See. We really haven't been doing all that much lately.
Except we've been both crazy busy. Mm-hmm. But nothing super excited to tell.
Well, I had something. I sent you a package with presents for Hanukkah in it.
Oh, yeah. It'll get here in a month.
Maybe never get here. But there's just really, honestly, not much been happening. Just been working away at certain projects and working away at teaching, lots of teaching, and getting ready to go back to Edmonton. And now I'm here. It's kind of it, really. There's not 10 minutes to talk about.
What have you been knitting?
Nothing. I left the hat that I had started at home in Edmonton. But
you're so committed to your knitting.
And I brought some wool here, actually. It's blue.
You did?
Yeah. I don't know. So
what do you plan to do with it?
Well, I was going to knit something with it, but I only had 3 sticks and you need 4.
Well, I
to
could
knit
give
things.
You another stick.
Maybe I only had 2.
I could give you another set of sticks.
I don't know. These are purple.
I'm sorry. I do not have purple knitting sticks.
Size six.
Oh, but there actually is a good story to tell because I was sitting and knitting and I was talking about what I was making and she looked at what I was knitting and she said,
yes, I remember.
Why don't you say?
I said, those needles look like they're about between size 4 and 6 to me.
And I looked at them and I said, yep, these are size 5 needles.
Oh,
and Melanie looked at me knowingly and said, I know. You seem to have, you're like the knitting sticks Rain Man.
You show me your stick, I'll tell you the size.
I'll tell you the size.
Seven bonds of soap, Hanukkah, Uchatov, Hanukkah, Uchatov, seven bonds of soap, Hatzimcha.
I
In this section of the show, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Hanukkah. Please keep in mind that this is not an attempt to convert anyone or to push my beliefs on you. Rather, I'm doing this to educate and to share my holiday. But if you feel that an explanation of a religious holiday will be offensive to you, please feel free to fast forward to the next section of this episode. So, what is Hanukkah? It is not a Jewish version of Christmas. It has nothing to do with the story, the history, or the religious significance of Christmas. Hanukkah usually happens to fall in December, and it is an 8-day festival. Hanukkah is based on a story that took place around 265 BCE. At that time, Alexander the Great ruled in Syria, Egypt, and ancient Israel. The lands were under his control, but he permitted the people to continue observing their own religions. More than a century later, in 165 BCE, a successor of Alexander's, Antiochus IV, took control of the region. He oppressed people severely. Jewish people were massacred. It became illegal to practice the Jewish religion, and Jewish places of worship were abused and damaged. A relatively small group of men put together a force to oppose Antiochus's army. The group was led by a man named Mattathias and his son Judah Maccabee. Despite the fact that they were seriously outnumbered, the revolution succeeded and the Jewish people were able to restore their temple. In order to meet requirements, an oil lamp was supposed to remain lit at all times in the temple. Normally, they needed 8 days to prepare a fresh supply of oil for the lamp. But when it came time to rededicate the temple, the people found that there was very little oil left that had not already been defiled by the Greeks. There was only enough to last 1 day. The Jewish people lit the lamp anyways, and to their surprise, the small amount of oil lasted the full 8 days instead of only one. This is considered the miracle of Hanukkah, and we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days to match the 8 days that the lamp stayed burning. The main religious activities of Hanukkah is to light candles. The candles are held on a candelabrum, called a menorah or a Hanukkiah. There are 9 places for candles on a menorah, 1 spot for each night of the holiday and 1 leader candle, called a shemash, that we use to light all the other candles. So for example, on the first night of Hanukkah, we light 2 candles, one to represent that it's the first night of the holiday, and the other, the shemash, to light the other candle. On the second night, we light 3 candles, 2 to represent that it is the second night, and the shemash. The only time that we light all 9 candles is on the 8th and final night of the holiday. While we're lighting the candles, we sing and recite a few prayers, including a general prayer over the candles, a prayer thanking God for the miracles that assisted our ancestors, and a prayer of thanks that we have reached this time of year. We then let the candles burn on their own, and they usually last between a half an hour and a few hours. Hanukkah is one of the holidays that is celebrated primarily in the home. We light candles after dark each evening, and for my family, we would usually then sit for a meal together and spend some time. Because Hanukkah celebrates a story involving oil, it is traditional to eat foods cooked in, get this, oil. Mostly that means latkes, or deep-fried potato pancakes, and donuts. Of course, we also eat regular meals, but the latkes and the donuts are an added bonus. Traditionally, gift-giving was never a significant part of Hanukkah. There was a custom to give children a little gelt, or some coins, to enhance their enjoyment of the holiday. In more recent times, many people in North America give larger gifts. This is mostly because of Christmas's gift-giving influence. So, what does all this have to do with knitting? Not that much, really, except that I like both Hanukkah and knitting. So there. Happy holidays, everyone.
lesson and singing O mio bambino caro nonstop. Well, the singing has started again, but this time Melanie is in town. So what we've done is we've snuck and we've figured out which apartment it's in.
It's the one right under you, Deborah.
It turns out, yes, that it's the apartment right under me, which is why I hear it so clearly. And we've been eavesdropping at the door.
Because we're that nice. And we have a plan.
We have a plan. We are. I'm sorry. We're not good people. Because what we plan to do is wait until this person starts singing O mio bambino caro and sliding up that note. And then Melody's going to show to them how to do it right.
And then we're going to run.
And then we're going to run.
I have the door to your apartment slightly ajar so we can just boot it.
That's a great idea. So, at this point, we've been just sitting and listening and giggling.
In the dark,
because there are motion sensors in the hallways. And so we're sitting on the stairs. And if we don't move for long enough, the motion sensors turn off. And every time she hits a high note, we giggle.
We cringe and the motion sensors turn off. There's so many bad notes.
Yeah, and it's only funny because I have a sister who can do it better.
And also because it's nonstop.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
What's actually also funny is I asked Deborah, how will you, what if they sing another song?
They don't sing another song. It's the only song I've ever heard. So, we'll let you know how it goes.
Oh, we'll let you know how it goes.
Their savvy listeners, there is one thing that, well, there are a few things, there are lots of things that other podcasters make me jealous about, but one of the things is when podcasters get to sit, when they perhaps have their own show or they have room in their show to sit and chit and chat about their knitting, perhaps while they're knitting or while they're thinking about their knitting. So I thought that since I am sitting in my apartment and spending a little time with my needles, that it would be nice if I would just turn on the recording and talk to you a little bit about what's happening. I talked in our last episode about how I was stuck with my knitting, and certainly that's not over yet. Basically, what's happened since I arrived in Bogota, so in the last since August, I'm working really, really hard, and I'm working long hours, and I'm tired. So I'm finding more and more that I just don't have the energy to start new things, to think about my knitting. I've been doing a lot of spinning, because spinning is very calming and very meditative. I'm not all that much of an expert. So I sit down, and I spin with whatever feels comfortable for that yarn, and I just sort of get into a zone and I watch TV or I listen to podcasts, and I am pretty happy with that. But I'm missing knitting. It's not that I'm doing no knitting, it's just that I'm doing a very, very small amount. I'm living in a sweater climate. It's sweater weather year round, so it's the perfect climate for me to be knitting cardigans and sweaters out of lightweight yarns. And as it happens, I have at least 3 sweaters worth of sock weight yarns or fingering weight yarns. But I remember back during the Rav Olympics, when in preparing for the Rav Olympics, I did all the things I needed to do other than casting on. I printed out my pattern and I looked at the different sizes and I measured myself. And I did all of those steps in advance. So when it came to the actual Rav Olympics, I was all ready to go and I could just cast on and start knitting. So remembering back to that experience, I decided I was going to do that again. And I was going to break this project down into manageable pieces. Step one was to pick a pattern. And I had a particular idea in mind of generally what I was looking for. I was not looking for the kind, I don't know what you call them, the swing kind, I guess, where you have the 2 or 3 or 4 buttons at the top only and then it was left open. I don't find that that's the most flattering for my body shape. I have a waist, and if I can, I like to show it off. So that was, that eliminates a lot of cardigans. Those are extremely popular. And I wanted a cardigan rather than a pullover, because I find that a little bit more practical. And although I love knitting in the round, in terms of my daily life, I really wanted something that I could put over a blouse or over a t-shirt or that kind of thing. I ended up finding, the pattern is called Ruby Red, and it's from Knitty.com, Fall Issue 2009. And it's a beautiful cardigan. So there's a lattice band around the waist and around the neckline. And I just found that really attractive. It's a simple design. It looks streamlined, nothing too complicated, but enough to just emphasize the right parts. The sleeves have a little bit of puff at the bottom. They're 3/4 length sleeves. The lattice pattern at the cuff, and then it makes a little puff, and then it goes up. And I just thought it was very, very pretty. That was step one. And I don't remember when I did that. It might have been a week ago. And then my next step was to measure myself. I have a 40-inch bust, and it's the bust measurement that in this sweater that seems to be the most important. So I was looking at the sizes, and the sizes are for, it jumps, okay, 31-inch, 33-inch, 37, and 41. Now, logic would have it that I should pick the 41-inch bust. It looks like the sweater is worn with 0 ease. So that means neither negative nor positive. You basically knit the size that you are. So logic would have it, I would knit the 41. But if you've been listening to the podcast for a little while, you might remember that I complain constantly or somewhat regularly about the fact that every time I've knit a sweater for myself, or generally whenever I knit garments for myself, I tend to knit them a little bit big. Not on purpose, but they just end up being too big and too big for me to wear. If you maybe listened to a couple episodes ago when we were at the Rhinebeck, the New York State Sheep and Wool Festival, I did a short interview with Hannah Fettig, and she is a wonderful designer. She's designed the Featherweight cardigan and a few other very well-known patterns, and she was absolutely lovely, and her husband was lovely, and I kind of hoped that I could adopt them both because they were wonderful people and they have this sweetest little child. And I asked her for advice because she obviously has more experience with this kind of thing than I do. And her logic was, well, pick one size smaller than you think you should knit. I was sort of humming and hawing between the 37 inch and the 41. The 37 would be 3 inches too small and the 41 would be 1 inch too big. Then I swatched. The pattern calls for size 3 needles and size 4 needles, and the swatch is for the larger needle size. I swatched using the size 4s, and I measured, and my swatch was too small. So then I swatched again using size 5 needles, and my swatch was just right. Now this makes me nervous because I'm a loose knitter. I've made a decision, and my decision was that I am going to knit the 37-inch bust. I feel a little better. If I'm choosing the larger needle size, then it's okay for me to go down to the 37-inch bust. And I figure I can always pick up stitches and add a decorative band on either sides of the sweater to make it fit around my bust if it is a little bit small. My next goal was to cast on. It's taken me a couple of days to get to the point where I'm ready to cast on, and I have the, not even the mental ability, the concentration, but for some reason, every step is taking commitment, and it's taking me to work up to it. And I'm casting on right now. The pattern calls for the provisional cast on of your choice. Right now, the provisional cast on of my choice is the crochet cast on, partly because that's the only provisional cast on I know, and it's easy to unravel. I don't crochet, so it's kind of fun to play with a crochet hook every now and then. On YouTube, I found Lucy Needby's crochet provisional cast-on video. She is wonderful. Her instructions are clear. I knew exactly what I was doing. I am not even counting, because with this cast-on, you can cast on as many as you want, and then if you have too many, then you just slip them off the end of the needle and nothing unravels. So I've just been crochet casting on for the last however many minutes I've been talking, and hopefully by the time I'm done talking, I will have enough on my needle. That was quite a bit of talking, basically just to tell you about how I've cast on for a sweater, how I'm currently casting on for a sweater, but it's so nice to just turn on the microphone and talk about my knitting. I might have to do this more often. I think that covers it.
Okay, Deborah, you might not know this yet, but on the next podcast, there's a little surprise.
I do know it. You've been making me listen to it for weeks now.
Melanie I'm not telling what, though.
Okay, but Melanie prepared a piece for our Christmas show, which is next week.
Yep, and I'm not allowed to tell what it is yet, but I have a hint, a musical hint that I'm going to play.
Okay,
you know what I'm going to play.
No, I don't quite know.
You do.
Okay, I think I do. Is it what you've been quoting for the last 3 weeks?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I have heard this nonstop. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've guessed it.
Okay, you have.
Okay, but can, like, our listeners hear it now? But
yeah, okay, so okay. I'm going to play it, and this should let you know what is coming up for one segment in the next podcast. Funky Jabba!
Selling it wholesale.
Now, although it isn't knitting related, I think we should take a few minutes and talk about our favorite Hanukkahs.
I think it's a great idea. So, Mel, why don't you lead this one?
Okay, well, not to sound greedy, but some of my favorite Hanukkah memories do involve presents. What can I say?
Oh, I remember a good present tradition.
Okay, what?
When we were teenagers, do you remember that every year one of us would buy the other one their favorite bottle of pop?
Yeah, which is soda for you Americans.
Oh, right. So I remember a few years in a row getting a 2-liter bottle of diet root beer or root beer just for me. And it was very special because it was all mine and I took my time drinking it, but it was a bit of a special present.
It's a great present idea, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. If you have someone who doesn't often, because we were not big pop drinkers.
No, we didn't have pop with every meal. It was a special thing. So
it was
to have
a special
your
thing.
Own bottle.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, if you're thinking of early Hanukkahs, remember when we got our Cabbage Patch Kids? I got my corn silk doll and you got your baby preemie Cabbage Patch Kid.
I have no memory of, I remember the dolls, but I don't remember getting them.
Really? Mom and Dad hid them in the house. Remember, and there were clues, and we had to follow the clues. And then I think we ended up playing hot and cold. And mine was hidden. Mom had made us play houses out of diaper boxes in the basement. And so they were hidden. Mine was hidden in the playhouse. I don't actually know where yours was hidden.
I don't remember that, but it sounds like a great present.
It was a great Hanukkah. Do you remember when I was in grade 6 what our present was?
No.
Presents?
No recollection.
It was squeaky.
Oh, was that the first time we got
That's when we got Algernon and Arabella.
Oh, the first gerbils.
And Mom and Dad had hidden them in the house too, actually.
In the basement, wasn't it?
Yep, they hid them in the basement. And we were so excited to get a girl gerbil and a boy gerbil.
Turned out...
They were poor Arabella.
Arabella was Arabello, actually.
And they were brown, just plain brown gerbils. And they were... What a good present.
And it began then, when you were in grade six.
It began.
And it, we've never been without gerbils, or you've never been
without
gerbils.
Not for more than a couple torturous months, no.
Right.
No,
right.
Sometimes you just need a gerbil.
I have a fond memory. I'm sorry, it has to do with kind of presents again. Do you remember the year, and it was... I think we were in probably our late teens, and Mom had found some beautiful Hanukkah fabric at the fabric store, and she made 8 little Hanukkah drawstring bags for each of us. And in the tradition of giving Hanukkah gelt, each night they put a dollar coin in the bag, and they gave us the bag. And so we collected 8 these beautiful drawstring handmade bags, and then shiny coins. And it was just a very sweet traditional kind of thing. And it was it was lovely. The bags were beautiful.
And that was about when $1 coins had just come out. So it was a big thing. No one really had them.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to be getting the loonies. Yeah.
Loonies. One of my favorite Hanukkahs. Oh no, I have another one first. Remember when we were all in the play at the Walterdale?
Yes, we were in a community theater play. And of course, Melanie had a bigger role than I did.
Just slightly bigger.
That's because that's how it always was. Which is fine. Melanie's the performer.
Whatever.
I'm not bitter at all.
But Savvy Brother was in it too.
It's true.
We were all in it. It was called...
Was Andrew in that one?
Yeah, he was. We were all in that.
Okay, right.
Wait, maybe he wasn't.
He was in the next year.
No, he wasn't in that year.
He made it in the next year and we didn't.
Yeah, I'm not bitter about that.
Not bitter about that at all. Anyways.
But the play was called Hickory Dickory Dock, I think.
Yes, was it?
Yeah, and it was a pantomime, so traditional guys dressing up as girls.
Yeah.
Christmas pantomime. And it was Hanukkah at the same time, so we brought our menorah and we lit candles.
Candles
there.
In the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
That was very nice.
But I think my favorite Hanukkah is, remember the year when Mom decided that Hanukkah was getting silly with all the gifts and we had to not get as many gifts? And she kept on saying, it's not about the presents. It's not about the presents. And then we really didn't do much present-wise through all of Hanukkah. And then the last night, the parents kind of went a little crazy.
I think that they were feeling that we were deprived.
And we got those neat sweatshirts. Remember, you still own yours. I had a dark red one. You got a green one. And that was also the year that I broke my foot on the last night of Hanukkah. So we got to spend it in emergency playing in the wheelchairs. It was so much fun.
Yeah, and stealing supplies from the hotel.
The hotel.
the hospital. We didn't steal much. Just the odd swab here and there.
Exactly.
Not swabs from other people. Just the odd cute-tippy swabby thing.
And then we went home after. And even though it was late, there was all sorts of present-y goodness. We got quite a few presents that year. And let's see what else. Dad would always get us lottery scratch tickets.
Yeah, that was cute. Dad always got us lottery scratch tickets. The $2 ones or the $5 ones or something?
The bingo ones. I don't know how much they were.
And that was fun. Oh, do you remember the year? This was kind of a fun idea. I liked this. And maybe this is something... Ooh, this actually could be knitting related. I don't know how many years ago. I think we were maybe in our early 20s. And I decided that it would be more fun rather than just giving presents if we played a game. And so we played bingo.
Oh, yeah. We had to go find a bingo set.
So we bought a bingo set, like a board game bingo set, and everyone contributed small items. And then we wrapped them and put them all in the middle. And then anybody who won at bingo got to pick a present from the middle, a wrapped present.
That was really fun, actually.
That was a great fun. And part of the reason it was so much fun is because, A, we were competing and winning.
And sometimes winning.
And, B, because it was proper family time and we were all laughing and playing together. And that actually could be a fun tradition no matter what your holiday is this time of year. But to, you know, everyone contributes small things and you want to throw in your hand-knit goodies and... And then everyone gets to, it's kind of fun to pick something out of the middle and see who contributed it. And
see what you get.
And to see what you get. Yeah.
Do you remember the Hanukkah when Mom made complete new outfits for all our Barbies? Remember we got this whole Barbie wardrobe and she had sewn entire outfits. for Arlo
Barbie. Sure, I remember. Thanks for the outfits, Mom.
I remember the Barbie outfits
that Mom made. I just don't remember having received them for Hanukkah.
Yeah, she gave us this box full of Barbie outfits that she had made. Because Barbie outfits were pretty expensive, actually,
back then.
So you got what came with your Barbie. But Mom probably spent hours sewing this.
These teeny, teeny, tiny little,
Barbie stitches.
Barbie stitches. Yeah.
And I don't know if this was Hanukkah. Do you remember that your mom made us costumes to match our Cabbage Patch Kids?
That was Halloween.
I don't know what that was. I think that was just in between.
That was a Cabbage Patch Kid contest.
Which, again, we should have won. Should have won.
I looked exactly like my Cabbage Patch Kid.
I didn't, but I still look pretty cute.
Except that my Cabbage Patch Kid was blonde, and I am not blonde.
And you have freckles.
I don't even have freckles anymore. You do. They're now sunspots.
Now, do you remember the Hanukkah in Barbados?
I do. That was so much fun. Do you want to tell the fine listeners about that?
Okay, it was a few years ago, and I was singing in Barbados, and Deborah was...
At the shul there, the synagogue there, was having their 300-year anniversary mm-hmm. celebration, and we had met some people with the synagogue. Melanie and I had traveled for a work trip, and then...
Work trip.
Yeah. And then we went to synagogue while we were there, and Melanie ended up singing at synagogue, and they loved her so much that they invited her to come back a few months later for their 300-year anniversary gala. And it was a very, very fancy, basically black tie event. And
it was so nice.
And while we were there, we ended up making friends with another... with a young gentleman who
had actually been brought in from England to restore their cemetery.
To restore their 300 and something year old cemetery. And the cemetery was fascinating because it was so old. And we ended up being friends. And I remember standing, this is probably not the normal way to celebrate Hanukkah, but I was standing in shorts and a bikini top. And I remember hearing the, what are they called? The cicadas? And the crickets, the singing the sort of the Caribbean night song that you will hear constantly. And we were standing outside we had a little patio outside our hotel room leading onto the pool. And it was a very quiet hotel. We were the only guests there.
No, there was a rabbi too. They're the ones who had the menorah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there was a rabbi there. And they also lit their menorah.
Yeah.
So I remember being out there, and we have pictures of ourselves out there lighting the candles in this very humid
Caribbean.
No, we had a pool, no hot tub.
Oh.
But it was warm enough that the pool was a hot tub.
Right.
That was a great holiday.
That was a great Hanukkah, actually.
What are your food Hanukkah traditions that you remember?
Well, always latkes. Actually, no, what would happen, because we were pretty much the only Jewish kids in our city. There were a couple others, but you sometimes had one in your class, but I had nothing there.
Yeah, we were, I think, three out of the five Jewish people in our city.
Pretty much. So every year, Mom would do something special.
In her class. Every year, Mom would come in, and she had made a presentation out of felt figures. And so she would have a felt Judah Maccabee and a felt menorah. And then, you know, if you take felt and you press it on to other felt, it tends to stick. Mm-hmm. And so she was able to put up this felt cloth and then tell the story of Hanukkah in a very visual and interesting way with these figures that she had made. And then she would bring dreidels. And we didn't really talk about... I didn't talk about dreidels before, but that's a game that's associated with Hanukkah. And then she would make latkes, and she would bring them in. And it was very special because we had our mom in our classroom, and we were finally talking about our holiday. And the kids came every year to look forward to the presentation and for the good food.
Yeah, it was good food. When it came to being in second half of elementary school... they had renovated our school, and there was actually a kitchen. So Mom actually made the latkes in the school that year. Anyway, so let's see. Are there any other Hanukkahs?
Well, I mean, there are. One of my favorite parts of Hanukkah, of course, is eating Mom's latkes.
Mom's latkes are the best latkes.
My mom makes the best latkes. And maybe we'll ask Savvy Mom to share her latke recipe, and we can put it up on our website.
That's a good idea. And there are two kinds. There's baked and fried.
There are lots of kinds. The traditional...
I mean, Mom has two kinds.
Mom makes the baked latkes in order to be a little more healthy. And
then you can eat more.
But the fried latkes are the best because she does all the grating by hand and she fries them in oil that's hot enough so they get crispy without absorbing a lot of oil. Mm. And guess what we're doing tomorrow, sis? We're having a latke fest. I have invited a variety of colleagues over, and Well, we're making latkes and we plan on
eating them
in the company of my friends and colleagues.
Now, I think you've made latkes before, but I have not without mom basically telling me what to do. I don't normally cook.
Oh, well, yeah, latkes aren't that hard to make and they're delicious. So it'll be fun tomorrow.
And what things do we put on latkes for those who don't know?
Oh, well, in case you don't know, latkes are basically shredded potato and onion. And then eggs and a variety of things too.
There are eggs?
I think they're eggs folded together.
Ooh.
And a few other spices and such. And basically they're deep fried if you cook them that way. And
generally they are.
Most
though.
People do. And then we eat them hot with applesauce, cold applesauce or cold sour cream. And it is so good.
They are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a family, there's also the tradition of having donuts. You mentioned that. And we didn't really do that growing up. I don't know if we just didn't know about it or...
Yeah. I don't know if it's a more modern thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure. Although soufganiyot
are
donuts,
right? Donuts.
So maybe it was just something that our family didn't do as much.
Yeah, but we definitely ate latkes and applesauce. Yeah. Yum.
Yeah.
And it starts and ends with food.
Everything it always starts and ends with food.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day.
Hello, this is Savvy Melanie, or just Melanie. I thought that since Deborah always talks on and on and on, and sometimes on and on and on a little more about her knitting, either on the podcast or in real life, I wanted to talk about my knitting too. Now, I'm not necessarily doing this knitting because really, knitting's really boring, but I do encounter knitting throughout my day all the time. So I thought I would do an occasional segment talking about the knitting that I have encountered in my neighborhood. Knitting that is not mine. I mean, maybe it will be mine. Who knows? Deborah gave me some nice wool that's somewhere around here and there's that nice other wool from Rhinebeck. So, I mean, maybe it will be mine. But today, it is not. So, let's see. I jotted down some notes over the last couple days of knitting that I encountered in my neighborhood. Number one. I was on the bus the other day going to Trader Joe's. The woman across from me was knitting on something or other in the round. I'd say size, maybe 9. They were the kind that are stuck together by a piece of plastic so you can just woof your knitting around and keep going. I don't know what they're called. Probably round stick machines. I don't know. This is not part of the story. So she was knitting on what I assumed was a baby blanket, although it's hard because it's sort of curvy because she's going around and around. The color was pale blue, and looking at it, I would have thought, yes, baby blanket. And even I could tell that she was knitting from yuck acrylic. Really, really yuck acrylic. Just, it almost squeaked. It was almost like that stuff from the 70s that actually, I had a shawl for a while back. I bought it at some thrift store, and it was this really great yellow shawl from probably 1970, and it was probably hand-knit or hand-crocheted, thinking back to all the holes. Purposeful holes, but holes, so that's probably crochet. And seriously, I was living in Toronto at that point, and my grandmother and uncle would not let me wear it out of the house. And we're not talking about I was 16. I was not 16. I was in college. I was past undergrad in college, living in Toronto, going to school in Toronto, and they wouldn't let me out of the house in the shawl. It was that bad. And I think my mom finally made me give it away, or maybe I was ridiculed into it. I don't know. Point is, this wool was that kind of wool, but baby blue, and some poor baby is going to get stuck with that blanket. Number two. Let's see, I have four things on my list. I was in Trader Joe's not an hour later. Well, it was probably about an hour later, because by the time you have the sample, which were these buns with butter. And P.S., the samples are often vegetarian. Yay! Okay. But I was in Trader Joe's. Oh, and the free coffee. And I often meet people I know there. So you have a quick chat. You walk around. You have to go to the back to see if they get what you want in, because it's always gone. Oh, and then you wait in line, and then you remember you need something else, and there's two levels, so you have to run. Anyway, knitting thing. I was checking out, and I noticed the girl next to me had a basket with some beautiful-looking wool in it. It was gray, and I am partial to gray. I
think there was a second color. All I really maintained in my head was gray. Maybe it was pink? Probably would remember pink. But it looked gorgeous, and I was all ready to say, oh, what beautiful alpaca, something, 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 when I noticed it said Bernat, which probably means it was also yuck acrylic. And certainly from the area of the city that Trader Joe's is in and the vicinity of other open yarn stores at that time came from Michael's. So I did not say anything. That was number two. The third instance of knitting in my neighborhood is I went to see the Harry Potter movie a week ago. Oh my gosh, that was a week ago. It's Saturday night now. What to see it? Wow. It's been a long week. Anyway, I went to see the newest Harry Potter movie, which is not really for children. My gosh, I was surprised at exactly how violent it was. I mean, the book is violent, I am happy to go see a violent movie, believe me. But there were mostly children in costumes in the auditorium, and my friends and I were kind of surprised at exactly how ill-suited for young children the movie was. But it's a great movie, definitely go see it. But at one point, oh, what's her name? You know the evil teacher who makes Harry write, "I will not tell lies," and it goes on his hand? I don't remember her name. Anyway, she was wearing a pink suit, pink and white suit, and it was entirely knitted. And looking at it, I thought, some lucky knitter got to spend years or weeks of their life making this horrible, horrible, horrible pink and white suit. Also out of yuck acrylic. I guess this is really a yuck acrylic story. So that's number three. Number four, since I am recently graduated from being a poor student and a poor musician now, so you know, it's pretty much one and the other, and my amusement on a Saturday afternoon tends to be of the unpricey variety, as in, I go to the bookstore, I take a book, and I sit down in the aisles and read it. That is what I do for fun. Yay, my life is so interesting. Not this week, but I was doing that today, and I had never actually read The Princess Bride. I've seen the movie, it's a great movie, hadn't read the book. So I was sitting and reading, I probably got through about a quarter of the book, so guess what I'm doing tomorrow afternoon? Yes! Social life with my book and borders! So I was reading a line in the book, and they were describing women, and the word, the phrase they used to describe them, and this is from memory, so it might not be 100% accurate, but the phrase they used to describe them is, quote, "She looked like more of a knitter than a doer." Interpret that as you will, but there we go. Knitting reference right in the book in front of me. There was no avoiding it. So that, lovely people, was all the knitting in my neighborhood.
They're the people that you meet when you're walking down the street. They're the people that you meet each day.
Want to go for a ride in my elevator?
Oh, that might give me a lift.
Oh! I
don't get it. Never mind, I have a headache.
This is the miracle of Hanukkah. Deborah, why is it the miracle of Hanukkah?
Because I get to peel potatoes?
No, that's not a miracle. That's just boring. Because look outside.
It's a beautiful day outside. It's never beautiful outside in Bogota lately.
It's rained basically every minute of every day. There's maybe 5 seconds where it doesn't, and then it just pours and rains all day. And it's beautiful. Well, there are clouds in the sky. Actually, the clouds are approaching.
Yeah, it'll rain, but it's beautiful right now.
Yay, it's beautiful. And why are you peeling potatoes? Is it something to do with knitting?
We're having a Latke Fest, so I've invited over colleagues. I talked about this in another portion of the recording, but invited over colleagues, and I'm making latkes, and then we're going to eat them. And I'm almost through a 10-pound bag of potatoes.
You ate that many potatoes?
Oh, you know, I left my starch. No, I'm almost finished peeling them, and then I grate them, and usually I grate my knuckles along with that,
because
it kind of adds to the flavor. Not really, it just hurts. And then I need to clean up all my stuff, because I kind of made a mess yesterday, and my knitting stuff is all over the place.
Oh, good, this is making it knitting related.
Yep, and I was debating whether I should clean up my craft room, because my craft room is basically adjoined, it's a big open space adjoined to the main area, but I do have the ability to just close the big door and no one can see in.
So I was actually thinking that maybe this would be appropriate to close the door, and then I wouldn't have to pick up all my C-R-A-P from the F-L-O-O-R.
But then no one is going to see your lovely stash, which honestly looks like a Malabrigo's door.
Actually, you're right.
I walked in, I was like, oh, because I've never seen it in all its glory, and I thought, I'd take that one, and ooh, I bet Deborah would like that one for a present. She never noticed.
You're gonna re-gift my yarn to me for Hunter?
Maybe I will.
Look, I bought you yarn. Remember this one.
I bet you.
I already wound that.
She wouldn't remember. She has too much.
I have a lot. But I'm working through it. I'm using it. And I haven't bought yarn in, well, okay, other than the yarn that I just bought. I haven't bought yarn in a little while.
Offen viel lick da gelbe lick gebunden mit da strick. Heuch in Himmel flieht da schwelbe dreht sich hin und zurück.
So, Deborah, how are our preparations going? Okay, I admit, all right. This is my fault. This is it, by the way. The scraping noise in the background is Deborah scraping her fingers off on a grater.
No, I'm grating potatoes and I can't stop because I'm rushing the clock. 3.
And she knows how to count. Anyway, so instead of getting ready for the party, which was our plan, and I admit this is mostly my fault, we went to the market.
Yes, we did.
It was such a beautiful day, and it's never a beautiful day here. So we had to, and soon it will be raining, you can tell. You could feel the air change while we were walking. But we went to the market, and which is actually only about a 10-minute walk from Deborah's house, one of the markets. And we bought, I don't know if there's an official word for it.
Purse bling?
Purse bling, I guess. things you hang on your purse.
And kind of like purse keychains.
Yeah, purse keychains. And they make them out of all sorts of things. Plastic and leather, but these actually were made out of beans, seeds, and beans, and
beads and amber.
And yeah, there was real amber on them too. And the best part is there was orange peel made into flowers.
Colored that dyed and then turned into flower shapes.
So, which is really kind of neat. It's like vegetarian leather. Deborah is grumpy right now because she wants to go fry up more latkes, and I want to finish the podcast so we can get it out to everybody.
I want to finish frying the last few latkes so that I'm done frying because I've been frying for hours now. And Melanie said, "Oh, we can't podcast if you're frying latkes," which is possibly true. So I turned it off in a rage, not really a rage. And now we're recording. So hi guys.
And what do we smell like right now?
We smell like oil. I don't really love smelling like oil. Smelling like oil.
We don't smell like sugar, spice, or anything nice.
No. But it was a very successful party.
Yay, it was. People loved it.
It wasn't really knitting related, though.
Well, no, but a few people peeked into your knitting room. I don't know if you
did
know
they
that.
Really?
Yeah, I heard the door open and close a few times. So that makes it knitting related.
Yeah, there might have been some stash flashing.
Stash flash, but it is Hanukkah related.
It is absolutely.
It was a Hanukkah party.
It was very successful. People loved the latkes. I pretty much fed people 10 pounds of potatoes.
And people pretty much just ate it up.
10 pounds worth of potatoes. That's a lot of potatoes. How many people were there?
7?
Yeah, something like 10 pounds of potatoes.
It was about a pound each.
Sweet. So, I hope everyone is full. It was very successful. So that was fun. And what are we planning to do tonight?
We're planning to do something knitting related.
Well, we're planning, actually. I have some roving that I bought, some dyed roving that I bought while I was in Argentina that's in a variety of different colors, and it's corriedale, which is not terribly soft. And so we're going to try to hand felt it into flower shapes. Melanie's going to make animals. I'm going to make flower shapes, and we're going to see how it goes. So it is a somewhat fiber-related activity for this evening.
And there is
after we podcast and after I finish frying potatoes.
And after we clean the kitchen.
The kitchen's a disaster.
It is a disaster. There is one more thing knitting-related today, though, that we didn't discuss. And that was your knitting purchase at the market.
Yeah. So there was a woman selling little handmade sheep dolls, and she had them as Christmas tree decorations, but they had nothing to do with Christmas, so I bought 12 of them.
You got a discount if you bought 12.
But they're super cute, and so I'm thinking of giving some away as podcast prizes for whatever contest we come up with next.
And they're adorable.
And they're cute, and that's basically the end of the story.
So that's basically the end of our Hanukkah episode.
Yeah,
so
happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Happy Hanukkah, and go back to frying latkes if any of you besides us are frying latkes.
Oh, the dog's saying hi.
That was the dog saying hi to everybody. That's it. Back to frying. You're allowed to go fry.
Okay, I'm going
to
go fry.
Okay.
It's neat and it's sweet. It's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet. Just knitting with your knitting all day long. You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone. And that is why we sing this knitting song.
With knit one, purl two. What's a knitter gonna do with a gall?
Thank you for tuning in to the Hanukkah special podcast of the Savvy Girls podcast. If you would like to reach us, you should write a letter and pop it in the mailbox and send it to Santa, because our next episode is going to be
the Christmas episode,
the Christmas special. But actually, given that Santa doesn't visit us and
that's,
we're actually pretty far away from the North Pole right now, I think instead you could try to email us at podcast@savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. You can find our show notes. You can leave messages. And you can check out the Savvy Girl Swag store. That is at www.savvygirls.ca.
And it's not too late to order swag for Christmas. It's almost too late,
but it's not quite too late. So if you want to check out the swag and buy yourself a little prezi, or buy a little prezi for someone else, you make a donation to the podcast and we send you the swag that corresponds to the the amount that you donated.
Exactly. So next episode we have, well, I've already given you a hint about one thing that's coming up, and there's going to be all sorts of other things, probably knitting related, hopefully not.
Lots of knitting related stuff. Also, if you would like to hang out with us in between podcasts, of course you're always welcome to come to Columbia and say hi, but if that's a bit far right now, you can visit us in our Ravelry group under the Savvy Girls podcast, and we have a committed group of people who say all sorts of hilarious things, and we would love to have you join us. So, until next time,
tend to your knitting,
kitten.
Would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.